Amen. I tell you, we could just sing for another hour, go to the house. That was outstanding. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to turn over to Luke chapter 21. I'll be honest with you. On the way over here, very intimidated about the task laid ahead for me this weekend, coming here, going to Stratton. I'd much rather go to association than go to a series of meetings where I'm the invited minister. I'd much rather do that. I was so intimidated, and whenever I got here and got amongst the brethren, as you said, Brother Sonny, you know, and just the brothers and sisters just showed me so much love. And as soon as I walked through the doors, and the intimidation went away, and I wasn't intimidated anymore. I just like, Lord, I just really want to give these people something to eat. I just really want to just please bless. I do feel like the Lord has given us a subject. If please pray that it'll be sweet to us. Please pray that I'll be able to bring it out as if it is of the Lord, as He would desire me to. If you have your Bibles with you, we're not going to get into exactly what the Lord's talking about here, but I want to bring out a point and some of the things that He says here to kind of start off what we're going to look at. What we're going to look at this evening is try not to be distracted by Satan. You know, brothers and sisters, we need to realize we live in a warfare. You know, I hate Facebook. I do. And I like it too. Kind of like sin, right? But, you know, it's got some qualities that is good, and it's got some qualities that aren't good at all. And I see these ministers sometimes putting stuff on Facebook like, oh, poor minister me, and how bad the ministry has it. And I'm like, are you serious? I mean, if I was a member of that church and you're complaining about how hard your job is, I would feel so bad. I'm like, suck it up, buttercup. I mean, Paul says to Timothy, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Brother, we got drafted into this. You know, I didn't volunteer for the Navy SEALs of the Kingdom of God, but nevertheless, we're here. And I want to tell you, it says, endure hardness as a good soldier. And to me, to see a minister complaining about the hardship, I'm sitting there, it's kind of like somebody being a Navy SEAL, going through boot camp, going through Hell Week, going through all that training, and then they get over to the war zone. They've been training for warfare for a whole year. Then they get over to the war zone, they get shot at, and then they get on CNN and say, they're shooting at us over here. I mean, Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier. I want you to understand, you're in a warfare. Whenever you think that you're here and Satan wants you to enjoy your life and you're not going to have any hindrances and you're not going to have any pitfalls, you know what happens whenever you have a hindrance and you have a pitfall? You get distracted. You lose focus of where your mind is supposed to be. And I'm going to tell you over in Isaiah 26 and 3, it says, perfect peace have they that keep their minds where? Stayed on the Lord. Guess what? I don't keep my mind stayed on the Lord. And neither do you. But we need to remember, whenever our mind is off the Lord, we need to remember how we get that peace in life. Yeah. I need peace, don't you?
Yeah, sure, man.
I'm going to tell you, it says perfect peace. Over here in Luke 21, 25 is where we're going to go. And then jump off of 26. It says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Man, that's wild. Men's heart failing them for fear. Wise men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Why are men's hearts failing them for fear? Because they're looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Brothers, there's always going to be a storm. There's always going to be a death. There's always going to be a fault. There's always going to be a failure. But I want to tell you what, there's always going to be the Lord.
Amen.
Go with me over to Matthew 14 real quick. There's always something to distract us. Are y'all like me? See, you can ask my wife. I'll be all set. I'm like, okay, we got to do this. We got to do this. Okay. And then I go, squirrel. Y'all know what I'm talking about, squirrel?
Yeah.
Or something comes to mind, I'm like, oh, this joke. And then I forget what I'm supposed to be doing. That's how I'm in the kingdom so much. Satan hangs a squirrel. Or Satan picks on me. Or whatever it may be. He throws a storm in my way. Really, let's be honest. He throws a breeze in my way, and I'm like, ugh. Go me over to Matthew 14. I remember Brother David Montgomery bringing this out one time about how that this storm that the disciples are about to go through happens immediately after a great miracle. You know, we had a wonderful meeting at our home church there in Irwinville, Georgia this past weekend. And I woke up at 5:30 in the morning. I didn't want to get up. I was wore out. I was tired. And I roll over. Said, baby, I don't want to get up. And she says, you're going to have a horrible day today. She really said that. I'm not joking. I said, what? She said, the Lord was with us all weekend. Your day's going to be horrible. I love you. I'm praying for you. And it's true. How many times have we just had a wonderful service and then Satan just comes and attacks us? Sure. I'm going to tell you. Here, the Lord just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then he commands the disciples, go to the other side. Yeah. And then it says here in the 22nd verse, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. By the way, I don't ever want to be misunderstood in my preaching. We need to keep our minds stayed on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Are we going to do it? No. Right. We should never get our expectations and our goals confused. My goal is to be the best Brother Danny I can be. I mean, that's probably an expectation too. But nevertheless, my goal is to be the best I can be. My expectation is I'm going to fail. My goal is to read as much of the Bible as I can. My expectation is I'm not going to read enough. My goal is to never doze off in a sermon ever again. My expectation is it's probably not going to happen. But what I want you to say, just because we're saying this is our goal, I'm not saying if you don't meet it, you're a failure. I'm just saying it makes life easier if we shoot for the goal.
Right.
Some folks heard a sermon on how to raise their children the other day, and I thought it was excellent. I thought it was great. I needed to hear it because being a father, I'm scared. I mean, a possible father one day, I'm scared to death. I mean, I think about that. My wife constantly wants children. She's constantly talking about and praying for children, and I'm like, a little longer, Lord Jesus. You know, just hold off. And I needed to hear it to get me prepared if the Lord one day blesses us with children. But there were some folks who got discouraged because they felt like defeated because they didn't hit the mark. And I'm trying to explain to them, he wasn't trying to defeat you. He was just trying to show folks what we should be aiming at. Show folks how we should be trying to live and to show folks how important children should be to us. And whenever I ever preach a subject, I just want to show you what we should be aiming at and where we should be going. And it says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him and to the other side. And while he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, remember his disciples are in this ship that are in this storm. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him. I want you to understand, even though Jesus comes to them and say, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid," you know what's still going on? There's still a storm. See, I want you to understand, whenever Peter started walking on the water, guess what was going on? There was a storm. Guess what was already there? Winds. Waves. But that didn't keep him from walking. That didn't keep him from begging the Lord to bless him to come out. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Guess what? The wind was already there. But the reason, I mean, is that not profound to you? I mean, here he is. They were scared because of the storm. They see Jesus. And he says, "Be of good." Look, get this in your mind. They're in a boat in this big body of water. Waves are jumping in the boat. And they're like, "We're going to die." And then they see Jesus. And he says, "Be of good cheer." And Peter says, "Okay, Lord." And he says, "I'm not scared anymore. Can I run out there with you?" And Jesus says, "Come on." You know why Peter had that attitude? Because he's seen Jesus. He was looking at Jesus. Jesus showed up and said, "Be of good cheer." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to do that." Are you ever like that? I'm like that. Somebody preaches a sermon to me and like, "Quit being gluttonous." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going to do that." And then I go to a church meeting. I'm like, "Storm." Wave. Wind. But I'm saying, he's out there. And he's looking at Jesus and he's walking on water. People give Peter a bad rap about running his mouth and about saying stupid stuff and about denying the Lord. I'm going to tell you, everybody else stayed in the boat. If I was Peter, every time I ever preached a sermon or every time I ever talked about, I'd be like, "I walked on water." I mean, he walked on water. I want to walk on water, don't you? I'm going to tell you, whenever there's a storm, I want to walk on water. Whenever I feel like I'm about to just give up, and Jesus shows up and says, "Be of good cheer, Randy. I want to walk on water. I want to say, 'Yes, Lord, I'm happy. Just help me stay on the water.'" But you know what happened? He paid attention to that wave. He paid attention to that wind. And he quit looking at the Lord. And he started singing. And then people give Peter a bad rap about that. But he did what I want you to do. He did what I want me to do. He looked back at Jesus. And he said, "Save me, Lord. I perish." You ever sink in this life? You ever sink in your unbelief? You ever sink in your failure? You ever sink in your fear? What am I going to do with these kids? This job looks like I might not have it very long. They're talking about this Russia thing. I mean, we're going to probably get a fourth and fifth variant. You know, Satan's always trying to scare us.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, save me, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Brothers, I've had the COVID 3 times. Mm. I thought it was going to take me out this last time. I'm still here.
Yep.
Save me, Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, the Lord's been good to us, hasn't he?
Amen.
The Lord's been good to us. Go with me over to Matthew 11 real quick. I asked Brother Sonny, I said, "What's the possibility of precursor going before me this evening?" And he said, "None."
Amen.
And then But then he said, I pray the Lord to go before you. Like, thank you, Brother Sam. But I said all that to say this. I was sitting on the front pew, and I was like, they got me a lot of water. And I'm going to use it. I love y'all. Y'all love me. We love the Lord. I'm going to tell y'all happy. Because the Lord's been good to us. You know what I'm talking about. You know that no matter how hard we try, we get discouraged. No matter how hard we try, we sink. No matter how many church meetings we go to, no matter how many sermons we listen to, no matter how many hours we put in the Bible, we still have this sinful, unbelieving flesh that just weighs us down. Look what it says here. 11th chapter, Matthew 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You know, I've heard people say, oh, he just sent those disciples over there so they could hear Jesus say what he said. John really wasn't. John was doubting. And y'all ever been in prison? But we have. You ever been in prison of unbelief? You ever been in prison of people letting you down? You ever been in prison of you letting people down? You've ever been in prison of you letting yourself down? I'm going to tell you, I'm big on not lying. And I'll tell people, I don't lie. And I'm going to go, I accidentally lied. And I'm still not over it. It still got me weighed down. I'm going to tell you, sometimes my sin, my shortcomings, my failures just have me boxed in like I am in a cell, a prison jail cell. I don't know. I think we all understand. Sometimes we just get in prison. Sometimes we feel like nobody wants to be around us and everybody hates us. And we just feel just all claustrophobic and shut in. And we feel in prison. And it makes us doubt, Lord, why don't I feel the same way that I felt with thee before? I'm going to tell you, at one time, there was nobody on the face of this earth at the time of John the Baptist that understood that Jesus was the Christ more than John the Baptist. Whenever John the Baptist seen him on the banks of Jordan, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then he said this, I declare that this is the Son of God. But then he had a bad day. He stood up for the right thing. He stood up for God. He was defending the truth. He was defending biblical marriage. And he got thrown in prison for it. Have you ever done the right thing and bad things happen to you? Suck it up. I say that jokingly. Get in the crowd. Get in line. It's going to happen. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm going to tell you, he was doing the right thing, and now he's in prison. But you know what he does? He's doubting. But you know what he does, Brother Randy? He goes to the Lord. What did Peter do whenever he doubted? Went to the Lord. What did John the Baptist do whenever he doubted? He sent to the Lord. What do you need to do whenever you doubt? Go to the Lord. What does that mean, Brother? Everybody says seek the Lord. What does that mean? Get on your knees. I'm going to tell you, you know, sometimes I got to spend more time getting into prayer than actually praying, Brother Randy. Sometimes I just got to get on my knees and I got to say, Lord, take away me. Take away my thoughts of food. Take away my thoughts of work. Take away my thoughts of this. Take away my thoughts of that. Just let me touch the hem of your garment. Amen.
Lord, just revive my belief. Revive my faith. Revive my strength. Lord, I need you. We just got to seek him. You know how else we seek him? In the Word. I'm going to tell you, read the Word. People will say, I'm not smart enough to read the Word. You know what Psalms 119 says? It gives understanding to the simple. If you don't feel smart, read the Word. What that says is if you're dumb, it makes you smart. So if your excuse is, I'm too dumb to read the Word says, you're the one who needs the Word. You get that?
Amen.
So he sends to Jesus. And look what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and shew John again. Brothers and sisters, we need to hear it again. We need to read again. We need to pray again. We need to sing again. I'm going to tell you, we just need to praise again. I'm going to tell you, the book of Psalms is big on praise. Y'all ever looked that word up? It means celebrate. You know why I'm happy tonight, Brother Joe? Not because I'm up here preaching. I got something to celebrate. You know what I got to celebrate? By my nature and by my own earnings and by my own work, I'm supposed to go to hell. But there's coming a sweet day when the Lord's coming back to get us all, and we're going to be with him in the air forever. It's so great that what the thing that we would sell our mother out here is what you're going to be walking on in glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, and if you've ever prayed to God, if you believe in Christ Jesus, if you have that spiritual warfare, all of those are evidences that you're going to be with him in glory one day. And you need to hear that over and over and over. Whenever you get discouraged, that's not a reason not to come to church. That's a reason you need to be in church. And look what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and shew John again those things which you do hear and see. What I love about the Bible, it's got something for the first time reader, and it's got something for the student. When I first read this, and he is saying this in a way, but whenever I first read this, look what the Lord says. Go and shew John again the things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. When I first read that, I thought he was saying, look at all these miracles that are done. Who else could I be? And he is saying that in a way. But if you have your Bibles with you, go over with me to Isaiah 35. Because I want you to understand what Jesus was really saying. Look what it says in Isaiah 35. This is beautiful to me. I hope you get this. I hope the Lord has the increase. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture God's people that are born of the Spirit and are thirsting for the Word of God. But for 400 and something years, there was no Word of God. There was no manifestation of the Spirit. Their religion was dry and it was vain. And there was no spiritual feeling from it. And it was just, y'all ever come to church and Brother Danny just didn't have it that day? Or Brother Sonny just didn't have it that day? And you just didn't feel like you were fed? You didn't feel like you drank any water, spiritual water, and you just went out, how about your whole religious life? Would you not feel like a dried up wilderness and a desert?
You're right.
And that's how it was for 400 and something years before Jesus came on the scene. And then it says, there's coming a time when the excellency of the glory of the Lord shows up, when Jesus comes, if you will, that this desert place is going to be a rose garden. And look what it says here. Look what it says. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that have a fearful heart. Let me ask you something this evening. If you were under the doctrine of the Jews and you were taught that, look, Deuteronomy 6, the end of it says, this is the way you shall be righteous. You continue in everything that's commanded, and that will be your righteousness. If you were taught that the only way that you can stand righteous before a thrice holy God was by making your own self righteous and by never messing up, would you be strong or would you be weak? Would you be able to stand or would you be shaking at the knees? Would you be confident when thinking about that day that you stood before your God, or would you have a fearful heart? And look what it says. Whenever the glory of the Lord shows up, you strengthen the weak hands. You confirm the feeble knees. You say to them that have a fearful heart. Now this is the message before the cross. You tell them that have a fearful heart. Look what the message is. Say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, because you're going to make yourself righteous. No. Behold, your God, amen, will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. I'm going to tell you, even the message in Isaiah before the cross was, you can't do it, but God can. And I'm going to tell you the message after the cross is, if you feel like you deserve hell, if you feel like you're weak when it comes to righteousness, if you feel like you can't stand before a thrice holy God, I want you to understand your God has come. His name is Jesus, and he saved you 2,000 years ago. But look what it says here. He will come who? God. He will come and save you. And then it says this. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Look, it says when God comes to save you, then these things are going to happen. If we were here tonight, and I said, whenever my mama gets here, then we're going to eat gumbo. And Brother Sonny was talking to somebody way over here and didn't see my mama drive up. And he got back to the dining hall and he seen everybody eating gumbo, because I said, whenever my mama gets here, then we're going to eat gumbo. You know what he's going to conclude whenever he sees everybody eating gumbo? Mama's here. I'm going to tell you, it says when God comes to save you, deaf people are going to hear. Blind people are going to see. Lame people are going to walk. Dumb people are going to rejoice. Y'all remember what Jesus told John the Baptist? He said, you go and you shoe John again. Blind people are seeing. Deaf people are hearing. Lame people are walking. Dumb people are rejoicing. You know what the message was that Jesus was telling John the Baptist? He's saying, you know Isaiah 35, I am God, and I come to save you. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever you doubt in this world, you go to God. You come to the house of God. You get down on your knees. You open the Word of God, and you pray that the Lord will remind you that he is God, and he has come to save you.
Yes, sir.
Keep your eyes on the Lord.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever I read my Word, I have peace. Whenever I pray to my God, I have peace. Whenever I come into the house of God and the Lord has mercy and he shows up, guess what? I have peace. Let us keep our minds and our eyes fixated on the Lord. But whenever you stray, whenever you get distracted, whenever those waves come and attack you and try to knock you down, I want you to remember, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. And anytime Satan comes to you and tells you that you're not a child of God, you tell him what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, he that loveth is born of God. I'm going to tell you, you not only do you look at God here in this life and you look at Jesus here in this life to help you walk, you look at Jesus in you. It says God is love, brother son. So if you see yourself loving, you know what that means? You got God in you.
Amen.
The Bible says he is righteous, so he that doeth righteousness is righteous. You see, I want you to see Jesus in you. The Bible says, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You know why that is? Because to believe in a virgin birth, to believe that a man was resurrected from a tomb after 3 days is against nature. You have to have something supernatural. You have to have Jesus living inside of you to believe that. Not only do I want you to look at Jesus as you're trying to walk this walk and not be discouraged so that you can have peace, I want you to see Jesus in here so that you can have peace, that whenever you breathe your last breath, you're going to go home and be with the Lord. I love you and God bless you.
Here in a little while, we'll have Easter season come upon us, and a Friday before that, it's going to be something called a Good Friday. Well, this is my definition of a Good Friday.
Amen.
The Lord's been here. The Lord has blessed us. Let us give thanks unto the Lord. We consume that blessing. It's come. It's passed. It's still in our hearts and in our minds and so forth. Let us return thanksgiving to God for what we have heard and what has been soothing and filling. There's still balm in Gilead. Amen. The great physician is still near.
Amen.
We're going to sing a song and give an opportunity for members. There be anyone that desires to join Bethel Church or any other church that's adequately represented here, the opportunity is yours. After the first verse or so, we'll